Blog Talk Radio.
This is the cry of a people who were robbed and raped from their homeland and their loved ones. A people stripped of their culture, their dignity, their liberty, and their rights. And by the cruel and presumptuous hands of the colonial and imperialistic slavers were cargoed into the West, where for over 400 years they have toiled and labored, and with their blood, their sweat, and tears and hands, they have built the great city of Babylon, only to be paid with the wages of the taskmaster's whip.
Cocoon. Hallelujah. 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 In the name of our Son, Yahushua HaMashiach, our Savior, our Redeemer, our soon coming King. We thank you, Father, for allowing us to see another day. We ask you, Father, to forgive us for our sins. We ask you, Father, to hear our prayer. Father, thank you once again for giving us your breath of life, for allowing us to see another Shabbat, for allowing us to come within your presence, Father. We ask, Father, that you open up your mind and your word to us, Father, and that you edify us, Father. We ask, Father, that you continue to grow us, continue to nurture us, continue to chastise us, Father, when we go to the left and to the right. Bring us back to your path, Father, your straight and narrow path. We ask, Father, that you strengthen us mentally, physically, spiritually, emotionally, however we need strengthening, Father, that we may endure any trials or tribulations that come towards us, Father. We ask, Father, that we learn from the trials and tribulations that we go through, Father, that we don't miss the lesson, and that we grow from it. We ask, Father, that you heal anyone who needs to be healed, that you comfort anyone who needs to be comforted, that you continue to raise our awareness of you, Father, and that we always be the apple of your eye. Just continue to grow us, your little sons and your little daughters, Father, that we may be closer to you. We ask all these things, giving you praise, glory, and honor through our brother, our Savior, our Redeemer, Yahushua HaMashiach. Hallelujah. Blessed are you, Yahweh, our mighty one, King of the universe, who has chosen good prophets and was pleased with their words that were uttered with truth. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who chooses the Torah, Moshe his servant, Israel his nation, and the prophets of truth and righteousness. Amen. Kol Shiva, Israel. Special on family. Hope everyone had a wonderful week. And if you didn't, it's Shabbat. Abba is here and he's with us. Today we're going to continue on the thought about Isaiah 42:18. And how it pleases Yahweh to magnify the Torah and make it honorable. So Isaiah 42:18, it says, "Hear ye deaf and look ye blind, that ye may see. Who is blind but my servant, or deaf as my messenger that I sent? Who is blind as he that is perfect, and blind as Yahweh's servants? Seeing many things, but thou observest not. Opening the ears, but he heareth not. Yahweh is well pleased for his righteousness' sake. He will magnify the Torah and make it honorable." So, once again, Israel, the servants of the Most High, were blind to certain things. We're deaf to certain things. But that's cool with Abba, because he's going to open up our eyes. He's going to open up our ears so that we may see. He's going to make it so this Torah, we can observe it, not just look at it on the page, but really understand it. You know, he's going to increase our understanding. And he's going to make it, with that increase of understanding, it's going to be beautiful to us again. How it's supposed to have been. You know, he wants to restore a perception that was lost. Because at one time, Israel saw this thing that was given to us as a beautiful thing. But like we discussed before, we took it for granted, and it lost its luster in our eyes. So this week, we're going to focus on a passage in Daniel. And this is Daniel 12:4. And it reads, "But you, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased." So, thinking about the Torah and thinking about how he's going to open up our eyes and open up our eyes to his word, knowledge, our knowledge, has to be increased. And this is the time of doing it. So how is he going to do that? Because he gave this world for us to understand him. So our knowledge of this world has to increase in order for our knowledge of the Most High to increase, right? So we've been quote-unquote on this planet for 6,000 years, and there's a lot of things that we are just coming to learn, you know, but there are a lot of things that's within this word that's written there that if we would have studied it and believed it, and I think that's the most important part, we didn't really believe what was written by Moshe. So we missed out on some stuff, you know, but science is coming to find out that a lot of things that were written are actually true, you know. So what we're going to do today is actually talk about the adversary and how he has increased our knowledge of him. And it's sort of like word association, but not really word association. It's taking into everything that was considered, everything that's been out in this world that he's using to describe the adversary. All right? So, in the book of Proverbs, chapter 24, verse 5, it reads, "A wise man is strong, yea, a man of knowledge increases strength." Now, when you think of this particular word for strength, is number 3581, and that word is koach. It means to be firm, rigor, literally in a good or bad sense, figuratively means capacity, means produce. Also, a hardiness, it says, from a large lizard. But when you look at how this word is formed, it is the kuf, I think it's the kuf, but the bent palm. That's the kuf, correct? All right. And the kaf, my mistake. I always get the kuf and the kaf confused. You have the kaf, which is the bent palm, and you have the fence, which is the chet. So when you look at how it's formed, you have the bent palm stops. Because you have this bent palm, but the chet is the limitation. It's a stopping point, which means you're straightening your palm out. We have this saying, talk to the hand, and we do this like this. We have this saying, but we only say that when we're firm in our knowledge of something. Now, when it's talking about that, doing that, it's talking about actually disciplining. Because when you discipline somebody, your hand is not bent. It is firm. It's strong. And that's when you get popped, you know. But I find it interesting. That's one of our sayings. And we do that when we're firm in our knowledge, when we're strong in our knowledge. You know what I'm saying? Can't nobody take that away from us. Like, look, whatever you're saying, I don't want to hear it. You know, that's a gesture that we use to nullify, to show that we're wise in a thing. All right? So a man of wisdom is going to increase in his strength. So Romans chapter 1, verse 20. Yeah, we all familiar with this one. It says, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without an excuse. So again, this physical world teaches us about the Most High. Question is, can this physical world also teach us about the adversary? Right? Because it's talking about things that we don't see, but we understand the things we don't see from the things we do see. We don't see the adversary, but there are things that we do see that can teach us about him. For example, in the book of Revelations, it talks about that old serpent, right, who was in the garden, deceived the whole world. We know what a serpent does. We can see a serpent. We see a physical serpent. So what he did, connected Satan to a serpent. Now, when the curses came out, it started talking about how he moved, right? Because when we read the story, the serpent's speech was deceptive. He got cursed. Now his movement is deceptive, right? That's what he got cursed by. So if we study the serpent, we can learn something about Satan. And think about how a serpent moves. A serpent is low to the ground. It moves it can move fast, but it's methodical in its pace. You know, but serpents are really quick when they look to strike, when they're looking for the kill. They can get in small areas, so they can get in small cracks, crevices, and holes to find their prey. But then again, they can also climb trees. So because they wrap themselves around the tree and maneuver themselves up a tree. So a serpent is very versatile in the way that it goes about it. But he's connecting that serpent to Satan, right? So think about all the ways that Satan can attack. He can attack you high. He can attack you low. He can attack you here. He can attack you there. It's not one way that he's going to come at you. Yeah. But we understand that from looking at the snake. You know, I was looking at a video of a guy. He was in a circus. And what he did was he took a snake and he wrapped it around his neck and wrapped it around again and was applauding. And he did this and applauding. But that snake started to choke him because that's the natural movement of the snake. So he ended up almost killing this man because this man who was not smart to wrap a snake around his neck, that's not smart. You don't do that. The natural movement of a snake, because we just studied it, the first thing it does, it constricts. If you hold a snake and it's around your arm, the first thing it's going to do is wrap around your arm and start constricting. That's the natural movement of a snake. It looks to strangle you. It looks to strangle its prey. Any snake that isn't venomous is a constrictor, and that's how it kills. But this is something that we have to understand about that snake, which is going to teach us something about Satan. It's going to try to cut that air off when you think about constricting and crushing and putting up. This is what that snake does, you know? So if we study the things that the Most High connected with the serpent, we'll learn something about Satan. And that's what we're going to do today. We're going to look at the fact that he, in 1 Peter chapter 5, starting at 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. It says this. It says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Now, over time, we've been studied lions, and we've been learned different things about lions. But now, the word talks. Why didn't he just say, your adversary as a lion seeks whom he's going to devour? Why did he call him a roaring lion? What was the point of adding that adjective in there to really try to paint this picture of a lion? Not only just a regular lion, but a roaring lion. What is it about a lion and a roaring lion? You understand what I'm saying? Why is the Most High giving such detail within these words? Because we all know about sentence structure. We know about adjectives. We know about adverbs. When he asked for the detail, asked for stuff for the tabernacle, he wanted certain types of yarn, certain types of cloth. I want the blue cloth. I want the red cloth. I want the purple cloth. Bring me this type of wood. Bring me that type of wood. He was really detailed in the things that he wanted, you know? So when he's talking about this adversary of ours, he goes and calls him a roaring lion, you know? So let's look at some of the stuff that the Most High says about roaring lions. Is everybody following? Everybody got it? All right. Amos 3:8. He says, the lions have roared, who will not fear? The Master Yahweh has spoken, who can but prophesy? So you think about a roaring lion, right? And keep in mind the passage that we're talking about before with Kepha. Be sober. One, don't be given to wine, right? Because there's a lion on the hunt. And the last thing you want to be is drunk when a lion is on the prowl. Be vigilant, be watchful, pay attention, because there's a lion on the hunt, and the last thing you want to be is distracted, right? So now he talks about a lion roaring. So what's the purpose of the lion's roar? It says, who will not fear? So the first thing a lion does, roar, he run, and it's to cause fear, but it's also to cause confusion. Think about that sound of a lion and how loud it echoes. And what happens, everybody's, all the prey ears go up. And they all get scared. And they're all ready to move. The young ones are afraid. The weak ones are afraid. But the purpose of that roar is to cause confusion and to cause fear. Right? And remember, this lion is an unclean beast. So it's connected with the adversary, right? And think about these. We're going to look at it from a regular level, too. Because whenever we're talking about animals, we have to talk about people also. Why? Kepha, same dude, got the dream about the sheep that came down 3 times. And he said, rise, kill, eat. No, I never ate anything common in my life. Look, don't say nothing that I call clean. Don't call that common. And he come to realize that those animals represented people. So you have people out here who are lion-like and will act in the manner of a lion, right? Think about these loud dudes. What's the point of them rowdy and getting riled up and this, that, and another? They on the hunt, and they sitting up there trying to see who's afraid. Who's going to separate themselves from the pack? Who's going to, because if you have a herd of animals naturally herd together. That's a natural thing for most animals outside of the solitary animals like a panther or a cheetah, you're not going to find a herd of cheetahs. You're not going to find a herd of panthers. They're solitary animals. They do their own thing, you know. But when you're talking about the prey, and mostly everything is prey for a lion, he's indiscriminate. He eats meat, you know. The first thing he wants to do is separate, find out who I can pick off the easiest. So I'm a roar, and let's see what that is. Same thing with these people who are lion-like. Let's make up, let's get rowdy, let's do make as much noise as we can. So let's see if we can separate somebody and we can pick them off easy, especially in this day and age when there's no rhyme or reason to stuff. You know, when people are just attacking others just because, you know. So you have the fear and the confusion there, right? The next purpose of a roar. It reads, they shall roar together like lions, and they shall yell as lions' whelps. So, another thing that you find about lions, again, they're not solitary animals. They hunt in packs. Lions don't go out. It's not just, you very rarely find one lion out there hunting. They come in a pride. And they go out and they hunt, and they are very effective at what they do because they communicate well within each other. Now, the way they do things is just, again, to cause confusion. Another way that they cause confusion is they're really good at masking their moves, camouflaging, getting low, blending in, and moving real close. Sometimes a lion will be about a couple of feet away from their prey, and the prey will never know it's there because the prey is just going on about his business. It's trying to eat before the lion gets there. So it's real slow, it's real close, it's real move, and it's quiet, right? But it's not just one. It's a bunch. So Satan, you want to just bring just one. He's going to bring a bunch of stuff with. The old saying, when it rains, it pours. You know, it's not just going to be one issue at the job. It's going to be an issue at the job, then another issue at the job. Then when you get off the job, it's going to be an issue at the house, going to be another issue at the house. Then if you go, look, might be a bill, might be this, might be that. He's going to come any way to keep you off balance, keep you off your rocker, so you can't be vigilant. So you can't be sober. Because as long as I can keep confusion going, I got you. That's what the lion wants. I'm going to separate you. I'm going to make you weak. I'm going to make you wary. How a lion hunts, they pick a young or old one or a feeble one, right? And they wear it down. That's why so many of them. And they just go, and it's like, okay, you're going to run this way? No problem. I'm going to chase you for a little while. And what they literally do is tag out. You know, they like one will chase them for a little while, and then that one line will get tired. Then another line will come in and start chasing them again. They conserve their energy because they work together. They go here and hit, and eventually that one that they separated from the pack gets worn out. He can't outrun 10 of them. He can't. And then they feast, and then they eat. Right? Another way that they eat, let's say there's a cheetah over here, and he done caught something. He ran down something, and he's starting to eat. The lion will come over there and take the cheetah's food. He'll bully the cheetah out of his food. So don't think just because one issue is coming, those packs of lions are still going to come. Just because you have an issue here, Satan is sending demons all the time. He's not stopping. He's looking to devour you. And when you look at that word devour up, it's talking about eating up in one gulp. He's looking to straight down the throat. He's not going to give you a chance. He's not going to bite or anything. He's looking to swallow you whole. That's what he's looking to do. So there is no struggle or anything like that. He wants you to submit. He needs you to submit. That's why a little while later, you come back and he says, resist Satan. Submit to Yahweh. Resist Satan and he'll flee from you. So you have this ability to fight off this lion. You have this ability to come when this lion is getting vicious. You have to fight it back. Think about Samson. The lion roared at him. What did Samson do? Rip him apart. He was strong in his faith. He was strong enough to withstand that lion because Yahweh was with him. And we understand that. In order to win this battle, we have to understand how we're being attacked. We have to understand how to defend. We have to understand when and where. We have to answer every question. We have to understand how to stop it. Whenever you're at war, you have to understand your weaknesses. You have to understand your strengths. You have to understand the enemy's weaknesses. You have to understand the enemy's strength. His strength is in numbers. That's why he tries to overwhelm you like that. That's why it's when a lion go out hunting, it's a pride of the lions. There's a whole bunch of them. We're going to get you by sheer numbers. That's how we're going to come at you. That's why you see a whole bunch of gangs forming. Why do gangs form? Sheer numbers. If I got enough people over here, we can win. I don't care who come up against us. If I got the army, most of the time, whoever got the biggest army win. I'm going to overwhelm you. That's why technology is important now, you know, because they have to learn to combat the numbers. You know, they knew when they went to Vietnam, there's no way they could have got on the ground and won. So what they do, they throw planes. We got planes and we got bombs. But we're going to keep on dropping these bombs till we win. We say that. And still lost, you know, but they knew that the casualties would have been even higher from a ground assault. You know, they knew that because there's no way that they could have won that, not with a ground assault, you know. So we have to understand how we're at war and how to defend ourselves, excuse me, how to defend ourselves, how he's coming at us. And we have to be honest within ourselves. Because if a lion is attacking you, you know, you have to be honest within yourself. You know, and when I say a lion, I mean when Satan's really on you like that, and he just sent them minions on you like that, the only way that you're going to get them off of you is if you be honest with yourself, submit to the Most High, and then you can fight him. Because if you're still sitting up there going, I'm okay, and you really need help, are you submitting to the Most High? Because the Most High got your help. He'll send a brother. He'll send this one. He has the armament, and he has the army, right? It's not hard for us to defend that. One will chase 1,000. Two will chase 10,000. So we have the strength. He got the numbers, but we have the strength. You understand what I'm saying? So it don't matter but the thing is, when you're being overwhelmed, if a whole bunch of lions jump on you, you're shredded. You're going to need somebody to get them off of you, like that guy in the video who needed help to get that snake off of him. Because when it wrapped around him, he was a goner. A couple more seconds, he was done. But somebody, they figured out what he was doing because he literally did like this. He was trying to say help, but he was pointing. He was like, get it off of me, you know? And they got it off of him. But what if he was still stood up there? Well, the show must go on. No, you've been dead. You know what I'm saying? So lions, they work together. Satan isn't going to just send just one thing at you. He's going to send a multitude of things at you. All right? Any questions or comments so far? Yes, sir.
Well, the purpose of the roar, as you mentioned, is to stir up the fear and the fatigue. So that's something that the adversary's going to do to get you off track, to get you off point.
Mm-hmm.
So you think about why he says to be sober and to be vigilant. So that we can't be stupid. We can't allow anything to affect our faculty so that we're not paying attention.
Mm-hmm.
Because the first thing he's going to do, he's going to roar to get, you know, get you started.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's when the attack is going to come.
That's right.
But if we can hold our composure together, the sober, the vigilant, then we'll be able to withstand.
That's right.
You know,
that's
regardless
right.
of the numbers, because I'm looking at, when you said one was in 1,000 of flight. If they said 1,000, we have the strength to deal with that, but we got to maintain our time.
That's right. We do. And, you know, and we're going to read another one. We're going to read a passage that says that. That he told Isaiah that. He told him that. You know, we have the strength. We have the ability to defend ourselves from whatever Satan throws at us. We have that ability. But a lot of times, we don't want to use it. A lot of times, we're distracted. So, you know, you think about it. Think about if an attack is coming, because, again, war. They have this thing called, what's it called, misdirection. So what you do is you take part of an army, and you have people attack this way. So now you're focused this way. But then an attack comes from the back, right? And now you're pinched within. They call it a pincer, but they also call it misdirection because your focus is over here, but the main attack is over here. Matter of fact, we read about that in one of the, I think David used it, got the people to come out of the city and then closed in behind them, I believe. It was in one of the wars, one of the conquests, you know. But that is a legitimate war strategy. Think about what Satan does. What if he gets you distracted with this one little thing over here, right? You're focusing on this one little thing over here, but then you, for lack of a better term, you're focusing on this rock that's getting thrown at you over here, but he got a missile right here that he's preparing for you. But you're looking at the rock, so when the missile hit, you have no awareness of it. You understand what I'm saying? Because we're focusing on the little things, and we're missing the bigger picture. You know, that's why the details is there. That's why he said like a roaring lion. And that's one of the things. There was a guy who used to come on TV called Bob Ross. And he was a painter called Joy Painting. And the one thing he always painted mountains and trees and stuff like that. But whenever he would do like the mountains, he'd be like, okay, here's my mountain. All right. Oh. It's a nice, maybe it's a little stream coming through the mountain. Then he would make a stream come through the mountain. He was like, well, maybe on my mountain, I got some snow up here. And he would put little snow, and he was like, oh, there's some trees inside the mountain. And he would do the details of it, and it made the picture come together, and you seen his idea of what he was doing. You understand what I'm saying? And it painted the picture better for us. But that's what Yahweh does when he uses specific words, and he causes these men to use specific words for us. Because it could have been just any old lion, but he says a roaring lion. Let's find out what else he says about this roaring lion. He says in Amos 3:4. It says, will a lion roar in the forest when he has no prey?
Amen.
Will a young lion cry out of his den if he has taken them? So they on the hunt. You are the prey.
Amen.
I'm on you. That's why I'm roaring. Because I'm ready to devour you. I'm on your butt, man.
Amen.
That's what he's trying to tell us. You know, when he's describing the adversary. The adversary is rolling around. Because he said he's going to and fro looking for whom he may devour. And he's roaring because he found some folks to devour.
Amen.
I'm ready to eat. You know, and when you think about a lion's diet, it being an unclean animal, most of the animals that he eat are clean animals. His diet consists of antelopes, giraffes, everything that we can eat. Everything that we can eat. He hardly takes anything that's unclean. I've seen a couple of them try to take a rhinoceros down, but a rhinoceros ain't going down that easy. So they like, nah, let it go. I got an antelope right there. Why? Our antelope's easier to kill. You know? And think about it. That unclean beast is coming after these clean beasts. What is he trying to tell us what's in this world? And they're going to wear us out. The one who gets separated from the pride is the one that dies. The one that separates himself, that wildebeest, that one wildebeest that gets away, done.
Hallelujah.
Done. A wildebeest is a clean animal. He's done. Not only does he have to look out for lions, not only does he have to look out, I mean, think about all the predators out there. We're just talking about lions, but think about all the predators out there. Think about when they got across a river. And there's alligators and crocodiles there, the unseen ones underneath the water, just lurking, waiting for you to just get it. You know, think about all the dangers that's out in nature, and we're representative of these clean animals because that's the ones we can consume. And you got all these dangers on the left and to the right and to this. The eagles can attack. A young gazelle will swoop down and snatch him right up. If you go in the water, you got crocodile. You got some snakes that live underwater, right? Then you got the land mammals that's looking to eat you. You are in danger on a constant basis all the time. You know, Satan is not coming at you just because. He's coming to look to kill you. And he got 1,000 ways to do it. I got 1,000 ways to do it, you know. And who's the ones I'm going to get? The ones that separate. Because the herd is strong together. It's harder to take down a herd of giraffes than it is that one giraffe. Because a giraffe will kick a lion and will kill it. If he can get them hind legs to kick that lion, it will kill it. Even a male lion don't want to get kicked by a giraffe. You know, you understand what I'm saying? So his defense is there, but the defense is within each other. It's together, you know. It's together because you have to protect. You have to protect the young. You have to protect the old. You have to protect. Israel came out of Egypt. Og of Bashan attacked. He attacked the back. He killed off the weak. And the feeble, the ones who were straggling, the ones that were separated from the pack. He was no different than that lion. They are the ones that they target, you know. So what do we have to do? We have to continue to strengthen one another. We have to continue to, you know. A lot of times we worry about physical strength. And that's cool. It's cool to be physically strong. But our mental strength is really what's going to get us where we need to be.
Amen.
We have to be strong mentally. You know, we have to be strong. And that was the beauty. And you know, I agree with Ariel. When you read the fourth Maccabees, because I've read it a couple times after the fact, it's really talking about mental fortitude.
Amen.
That's how Eleazar, that's how the seven brothers, that's how all those people was able to go through. You think they wasn't afraid? They was afraid. But again, when you have your mind focused on Yah and you have that faith there, it'll override that fear. You know? It overrides it. You know? So, again, the line is wrong because we are the prey. Now, think about these dudes out here. We are the prey. And, again, it shouldn't be a surprise to us when the cops roll up on black people and young black men and this, that, and another, and whoever, because we are the prey. You know, the antelope don't get to say to the lion, hold up, I'm in compliance. I'm this, that, and another. He don't get to hold his hands up, anything like that. That lion is looking to devour him, and the only way those antelopes or any other prey gets away from that lion is through the grace of Yahweh. That's it.
Amen.
Otherwise, they are fodder. They are fodder.
Amen.
So think about that when, you know, when these brothers and sisters out here, when you get, praise Yahweh for that. Because he spared your life. It don't make a difference if you was in compliance or not. Yahweh spared your life because that man was looking to take it. He was looking to kill you because that's what he's there to. That's his nature. That's the nature that he chose to stay behind. And it's a choice. You know, it is a choice. You don't have to be that unclean beast. You can be one of the clean ones. You know? It says, will a lion roar in the forest when he has no prey? Will a young lion cry out of his den if he has taken nothing? So, again, they're on the hunt. They're after us. That's why we have to be vigilant. That's why we have to stay sober. Even to the point, because when you think about a sound, when you think about that roar, the first thing you're going to do is startle. You know, because if you haven't heard a lion roar, that's a rough roar. You know, that's a rough sound. It's a sound that gets your attention. And, you know, if you are not vigilant, if you're not watchful, and if you're not prepared, it's going to catch you off guard. Because a lot of times, that's the last thing they hear. Think about it. They communicate. One roars, everybody, and then the hunt's on. Because he says, hey, we found the prey. We found who he's looking for. So you get that big roar, and now the attack is on. Because while you're doing this, they're jumping all over you. All right? Isaiah 31:4. Any questions or comments so far? He says this, for thus has Yahweh spoken unto me, like as the lion and the young lion roaring on his prey when a multitude of shepherds is called forth against him. He will not be afraid of their voice, nor abase himself for the noise of them. So shall Yahweh of hosts come down to fight for Mount Zion and for the hill thereof. So when David, sheep, was taken by that lion, he couldn't be afraid. And it didn't matter how much he roared. It didn't matter how much the lion shook. No, I'm going to get my sheep back. Because he has that type of faith. He was. One, he had to have that trust in Yahweh, number one. Right? Number two, he had to understand the things, his strengths and his weaknesses, right? Because you just ain't going to attack a lion. You have to go about it tactfully. You can't just roll up on a lion, unless you're Samson, who was granted, this is the truth. He was granted that type of strength to deal with a lion hand to hand. You know? He was granted that type of strength. You know, so you have to attack this lion tactfully. I've seen another video of a man who was he was feeding the lion, and the lion got a hold of his leg and pulled him into the cage and started gnawing on him. Well, people didn't just jump in; they jumped. They was hitting him, but they was moving back, And eventually they got him. I think they had to kill the lion to get him off him. But they had to, you did not want to fall next to that lion's prey, because when that lion grabbed him, you saw his claws and he sunk in. And then the guy was kind of like scrounging back, but then the lion re-sunk the claws in and pulled them in and was gnawing on him and was biting on him. And it was like, and I'm sitting up there, ooh. You know, but the help came, and eventually got the man's alive, but he didn't come out unscathed. You understand what I'm saying? But you're alive. Now think about that. What's the point of a scar? Because again, some scars are there. They're there for remembrance. You're not going to. Some scars, I had a burn mark, a couple burn marks when I was cooking, because I was reaching in, not wearing hot gloves like the way I was supposed to. I was just using some hand towels. And what happened? Burnt my arm right around here. Well, no big deal. You get burnt. That's part of cooking. Well, my dumb behind did it and burnt the exact same spot again. Yep, put my hot mitts on from now on. Why? And they stayed there. That scar was there for a long time. See, but you're not going to remember every scar, but some scars are more important to you than others because the lesson is there. I guarantee my son will not forget that scar he got right in the middle of his forehead when he split his forehead as a baby. He hit the wall. Split it right there. And that scar is still there to this day. You know? Some scars are more important to you than others, you know. So I guarantee you, that man will tell you and will tell you some stuff about feeding the lion now. Like, you throw the meat in. You don't go nowhere near that cage at all, you know. Because think about, that's a dangerous thing. People act like, and I don't care how tame you think a lion is. That guy thought that snake was tame. But a snake is a snake. It's going to do what it do. It's not going to just sit up there and say, okay, all right, fine. You want to wrap me around? Mm-hmm. You're in control. You're in control. You're in control. You know? It's deceptive in the things it do. A lion is going to do what it do. What Siegfried and Roy? That tiger got a hold on?
Right.
Who's mad? Don't be mad at the tiger. That's the tiger. It's a tiger.
Right.
You think just because it's jumping through hoops and rolling on a ball, that is a 900-pound cat that eats meat, and you are meat.
Yes.
That's the truth. Yes. It's going to gnaw on you. That's what it does. Every so often, you see these animals acting like animals, because that's what they are. I don't care how much you domesticate them or think you domesticate them.
Right.
It don't make a difference. That's the nature that the Most High put in them. And that's what they're going to be, you know? So there are going to be some people with that type of nature that's going to come up against us. You shouldn't be surprised. But we shouldn't be surprised, but we also shouldn't be afraid, because Yahweh is with us, not with them. Yahweh is with us. He is our shield. He is our sword. You understand what I'm saying? We don't have to worry about however Satan comes. See, because he's going to try to overwhelm us. He's going to try to give us with misdirections. He's going to try, but as long as I got your back, you got my back, you got his back, as long as we got each other's backs, we'll see it coming.
Yes.
We're going to see it coming. We're going to watch it come, and then we'll destroy it.
Yes.
You know? Abba is our battle master. He's the one that shows us the plan. Remember the story about Elisha. When they was talking about how Israel know what we're doing before we're doing it. Well, there's a prophet over there that's telling them what we're doing while you're asleep. He knows your plans while you're sleeping.
Yes.
Why? The Most High is revealing those plans. We're not ignorant to his devices.
Hallelujah.
We know how he's coming. And if we keep on studying the world, we'll get even better at it. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
We'll get even better at it. We'll understand it. We'll understand the nature of a lion. We'll understand the nature of a snake. because there's different types of snakes. Some are poisonous, some aren't. Some are venomous, but some will paralyze you, bite you, and paralyze you. Right? That mouth will bite you and paralyze you. Others don't have teeth. They just look to crush you. They're constricting type snakes with just muscle, you know. There's different types. So we have to understand all these different things that the Most High. And how do we do that? Study the world. We got to look at what Abba gave us to understand those things that we can't see, because we can't see Satan coming. We can't see it. But we can understand it when he's coming. We can get it. We can understand how he's coming. We can understand why he's coming. We can understand all that. So it don't make a difference when he comes. We'll be prepared for him, because we've been figured out the rest. You know, Satan is going to come whenever he comes. A lot of times, Abba say, go get him. It's time for my sons to learn something. So go get him and teach him this. You know, make him do this. Fine, go ahead, go on. You consider this one? No problem. Go get him. See, but if we understand how he's coming, why he's coming, see, now we become better kids, you know. We become stronger for one another. We become wiser for one another, you know. Because my wisdom is for me, but if we don't share the wisdom, there's no point in it. If we don't take this knowledge and this understanding that we have and dispense it to one another, i.e. build each other up, we've missed the whole point. We can't harbor we can't harbor the knowledge, can't harbor wisdom to ourselves. So that's why we have to talk. That's why there's no such thing as a stupid question. There's no such thing as a bad thought or a stupid thought or this, that, and another. We have to open up, especially if you're seeing different things out here in this world, you know, science and all that. I don't mind reading about different stuff that they say. Now, when it conflicts with the word, I don't believe it. That's the truth of the matter. When it conflicts with what Yahweh say, if they say there's no set pattern to the wind, I don't believe you. Yahweh said that there's a set pattern to the wind, you know. But go ahead out there. Tell me about tell me about the dietary habits of lions and cheetahs and stuff like that. Go on, tell me about it. Go ahead and view them, because I don't want to get nowhere near them. I don't. I'm meat, and a lot of it. Plain and simple. I don't need no lion running down on me. I don't need to go on no safaris. They driving no car. You go on a safari. An elephant can knock over that car, but yet you're going to walk by the elephant. Elephant will make mincemeat out of that daggone vehicle that you're in. It's a dangerous thing. But if you want to put yourself in danger for the sake of my knowledge, thank you. I will accept all the knowledge and stuff that you do, and I will grow from it, because Abba wants us to grow from the knowledge of this world. So we'll understand him. You know what I'm saying? So, again, they hunting in pride. We have to really look at this world to understand, one, not only our Father, but two, the adversary, because he's another key player in this, and that's who we're at war with. Amen. If we really want to understand what's going on, how he's coming, his methods, as we read, we tell him we're not ignorant of his devices, we're not ignorant of his methods. Amen. We have to study the world also, you know, because he's there. Abba gave it for us for that particular reason. You know, and that's the one thing that he's really helping me to get. It's not just this, but it's this too.
Amen.
You know, the duality of it. Why is it that the Mashiach compared himself to an unclean beast? For what reason? For what purpose? Why was he compared to a snake? Why was he compared to a lion? The adversary compared to a snake, compared to a lion. Why? For what reason? What is he trying to show us? You know, is there a similarity there? Is the same way I'm supposed to learn about Mashiach, I can actually learn about this dude that's coming about me too. You know? It's there for a reason, you know, and he will magnify his Torah and make it honorable. Yeah. He's going to do that, you know. All we got to do is submit and listen. And that's basically the Torah portion right there.
Yeah.
You know, we got to study the world a little bit more, yeah, and we'll understand a little bit more. And inch by inch, it's not a race. You know, and I think that's another big thing. Not a race. Be patient. If you don't get it, keep at it. Can't stress that enough. Take your time. You know. Any questions or comments about anything?
Yes,
yes, sir.
Building to what you were saying. Building about what you were saying about the animals. And I was looking at something, and that's tying it into everything that you're saying. When you look at the unclean animals specifically, understanding that they also symbolize people. So while you were talking, I was looking at this part in Leviticus chapter 11, and that's just wanted to read it and just give people something to think about. He says, speaking to the sons of Israel, saying, these are the beasts which ye shall eat among all the beasts that are on the earth. Whatsoever part of the hoof and is cloven footed and cheweth the cud among the beasts, that shall you eat. So we understand those are the marks that we look for. They identify. But he continues, he says, nevertheless, these shall ye not eat of them that chew the cud or of them that divide the hoof. So you have other animals out there who have the same character traits, but they don't have them together. Which I thought was interesting when you look at it from the perspective that you're saying. You're talking about people. So as I read the different animals, think about the fact that you're going to have people out there who are doing this. Okay? So and before we go any further, what does it mean, or rather, what does it point to the chewing of the cud? What is it that we're looking for as far as the clean versus the unclean? What is it that this animal is doing? What does it symbolize? Right, chewing up the cud. So basically, you have the ability, these animals have the ability to chew food, to swallow it, but they have the ability to regurgitate that food and chew it again.
Mm-hmm.
So what is that saying, though? Okay, that's what it physically means. How do we translate that spiritually? What is that teaching? What is the character trait of the people? Because he's not just talking about animals, like you said. He's talking about people. What's the character trait now that we're looking for in people?
One. Go ahead. I was going to say repetition. People who continue constantly, they learn from, because when you think about chewing the curd, I done took some nutrients out of it, but I didn't learn everything I'm supposed to learn. So I'm bringing this back up and learn a little bit more.
Okay.
And you digesting a little by little and little by little, baby steps for the most part, you know, but until you get to a whole.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So is it safe to say what these people are doing is regurgitating the word?
Mm-hmm.
They're using that word. They digest, they're eating it. They digest something. They may bring some back up. And like you say, continuing. Okay? So that's one character trait. Now you have another character trait. The cloven footed. What is that teaching? We know what it looks like, okay, physically, but what does that look like spiritually? What does it translate to us? What does it mean? What does it symbolize?
A different walk.
Okay, now you're talking about a person whose walk is separate, distinct from everybody else. Now listen to these animals now, okay, because these animals, they have the same character trait. They don't have both. They have one of the character traits. It says in verse 4, the camel, because he cheweth the cud, but divideth not the hoof, he is unclean to you. And just consider, you can look the word camel up and get some further information about that. But just think about the fact that he's describing people who may be or appear to be regurgitating that word, but their lives are not separated. Consider this. It says, and the coney, because he cheweth the cud, but divide up not the hoof. He is unclean unto you. And when you get into these different animals and you look them up,
like you were saying, you learn about these animals, it's going to tell you about a specific type of person. He has given us the playbook of the adversary, exactly what to look for. He says, and the hare, because he cheweth the cud, but devoureth not the hoof, he is unclean to you. And the swine, though he divide the hoof and be cloven-footed, yet he cheweth not the cud, he is unclean to you. So I just wanted to share that because we, based on what you were saying, looking at the world for what it is, that reminds me of that song, Life's a Lesson. Yahweh created this world to teach us. We're supposed to learn everything we need to learn about this word from what we see, as you've been bringing out.
That's right.
So when we look at the unclean animals, what he's telling us, these are the type of people, these are the type of cuds that you got to be mindful of. They're going to come to you. They may appear to be chewing a cud. They may look like they split the hoof, but they unclean.
That's right.
And this is what we got to consider. And that's all I wanted to say. You know, we have to consider that.
That's right.
You know, it... patience, be sober, be vigilant. If we're not sober, we're going to miss something, like the brother said. Think about that, because it's going to look one way, but it's actually another way. Is it because we were drunk? Is it because we weren't being watchful? Who is the blind? Who is the deaf? We see stuff, but we don't observe it. We hear stuff, but we're not perceiving it, you know. And this is what Yahweh don't want from us. So he has to unleash his Torah upon us, for lack of a better term. He has to unleash it. He has to, I got to take it off this stone. I got to write it in your hearts. It has to be part of you. It has to be. Right? So any other questions or comments, Bonnie? Yes, sir.
And the fact that how we become unsober and how we become unvigilant, other than the external sources like alcohol and being under the influence of some sort of drug, is allowing your not having temper and allowing your passions, whether it's, and one of the things I really thought about and listened to last night was how pleasure, and you know, we think of pleasure as a good thing, when in all actuality, seeking after pleasure and finding pleasure sometimes is one of the worst things that can, because when you think about an addict is seeking pleasure.
That's right.
To the point where they will allow their mind, soul, and body to deteriorate to a point where I met one addict who he had his addiction was so bad that he shot off. I know when I say shot off, not with a gun, with that needle, shot off his left arm and both his legs because that seeking that pleasure was a sex addict or whatever. And not to get into to addiction or anything like that, but the pleasure principle, whether it's people who seek after money that gives them that pleasure, that it will cause them to do illegal things or whatever. But the whole point of, that I'm trying to make is temperance and being self-aware, not allowing that those passions, whether he said, don't become too joyous. Don't get all giddy and joyful, you know, and don't become too angry. Don't get to that lower state, but make sure that you're staying in a place where you are aware of what's going on inside of you.
Right.
Because the moment that you become unaware of yourself and you lack that vigilance, it leads to bad things in your life. And just thinking about what you know, your lesson and how that it's all tying in together, that we have to, what Abba has really been trying to teach me, is be in control of yourself, brother.
Amen.
You can't control nothing outside of yourself. You know, Mara and I had a conversation that when Yahweh wakes you up in the morning, everything is in his control in your life. With breathing, all these internal functions we got, Yahweh takes care of that.
Mm-hmm.
But the one thing that we definitely have control over is what we think,
Amen.
How we control those thoughts and those thoughts guide us throughout the day, and what we say out of our mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the only two things that once you open your eyes, you are in full and complete control of. How we behave, right? They all tie into one, you know. They all tie into one. That's all, brother. Just that, you know, the lessons, they all tying in together, man. Awesome lessons.
Hallelujah. But just to take you back and off what my brother said, what Yahweh wants us to be is a well-rounded people, you know. There are freedoms that we have, but what he wants us to do is live in what we refer to as moderation. You know, don't allow anything to become that dominant or overpowering over you that it now has control over you. You know, that goes right back to the temperance or the self-control, which is, and it's funny how when you look at the fruit of the Spirit, even though that's the last thing, that's the most important.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's like the whole commandment of coveting. Even though the idea of coveting is the last of the Ten Commandments, but it's still the most important because it ties into everything else. If you don't have that lust or that desire outside of the Most High, you're not going to break the first nine. You know what I mean? And the same thing, if you maintain that self-control, then the remaining fruit of the Spirit, you are going to be in alignment with them because you maintain the self-control.
That's right.
You know?
All starts with you.
Amen.
And, so, family, any other questions or comments?
I got a comment, but I'm going to wait down.
Okay. No problem. So, family, be sober, be vigilant. Let's just pay attention. You know, because Abba is talking to us. He's talking to us, and he wants us to understand and know exactly what he's talking about. And, you know, understand him, understand what's going on with us. That way we're good, you know. All right, so, Kokun.
That's right.
Blessed be you, Yahweh, King of the universe, Rock of all eternities, righteous in all generations, the trustworthy mighty one, who says and does, who speaks and fulfills, all of whose words are true and righteous. Trustworthy are you, Yahweh, our mighty one, and trustworthy are your words. Not one of your words is turned back to its origin unfulfilled, for you are mighty one, trustworthy and compassionate King. Blessed be you, Yahweh, the mighty one, who is trustworthy in all his words. Amen.
Amen.
Prophet Shabbat, you mind closing us out?
Father, thank you for awakening us today, allowing us to participate in another one of your Shabbat. Father, continue to open up our spiritual ears and spiritual eyes and give us your wisdom and your knowledge. Let us be concerned for the knowledge that's around us in the world. Father God, continue to lead us and guide us in your will so we can fulfill your purpose that you have us for. Bless our families, Father. Bless those who cannot make it and attend the day. Comfort those who are physically, going through physically and emotionally and financially issues. Let's rely on you, Father God, as the source, and let's not focus so much on the resources. Without you, we can do nothing, Father God, keeping you first. Let's continue to live. In the Son, Yahushua, and Amen.
Amen.